Would you like to find out for a week?
Would you like it for a week?
You know, I look at that handful and the quality package that it's in, and I say, there's some good things coming in that boy.
Exactly.
Could be a wonderful servant of God, aren't you? And so I'm proud of you. I'm proud of everybody here. I really am. It's such a joy to see our young people have that desire. And that's pretty special. And we need to model that desire. I know that, you know, those qualities can be challenging in children. But I guarantee you they're there. And we've got some blessed children here. And I appreciate you, each one. Just remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. The evil days is when we get old and a body starts falling apart. And we look back on all the mistakes that we made and we regret them. You live for God now and don't have a lifelong history of sin that plagues your days. So remember your Creator today means that you try your best to do what He says every day. And I guarantee you, it'll bless your life. It blesses our lives today, doesn't it? If we live for God today, does that not give us a greater joy? To look back and know that we have done our best to please the Lord, and the kingdom is the greatest thing and the greatest priority in our life. We need to keep that as our banner. And keep it going. Give it all that we've got and live for Him. With every breath, every day, every hour, and every minute. Psalm chapter 1 is an amazing chapter. We've been looking this morning about walking in the counsel of God or the ungodly. And we have a choice. Every day we make choice. Every day we're on the verge of a crossroads, and every minute we seem to be on the verge of a crossroads where we can go one direction or the other. We can please God or we can please ourselves. Now, when we normally please ourselves, it means that Satan is there. And so we've got to make sure that we do our level best with God's help to do right. And what does Philippians 4:13 say, Roy?
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
That's right. I knew you knew it.
Blank.
Good job, Roy.
And so, can we succeed?
Yep.
We can live for God. We can walk in His counsel. Well, as we look at this, walking in the counsel of God, it blesses our life. But the things that we've been talking about meditating on God's Word. And so I've done an analogy within this, and I've done it basically as far as levels. Now, honestly, is it really correct and accurate? Well, I don't know. But at the time and putting it down, it sure seemed fairly logical. But notice that each of those are all within a growing and a learning stage. And of course, then we go forward and we put it into practice. And so I'm looking at this and about the meditating day and night. And so the different levels in my twisted little mind, I look at reading. And I encourage daily Bible reading every day. Did you read your Bible every day last week, Vincent?
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of you. And so he's a good example for all of us. And so I want to look at the reading aspect for a minute. And I kind of place this on the grade school level. All right? And that's kind of where we're putting in some basics. And so I want to go to Nehemiah chapter 8. That area where everybody started having troubles this morning or this afternoon in their books of the Bible. And Nehemiah chapter 8. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Nehemiah chapter 8. And I want to read verses 1 through 4. Now, this particular time of history, books were all hand copied. So So you're not going to, everybody's not going to have a copy of the first five books of the Old Testament on their shelf.
Nehemiah
chapter 8. And so as they came back into the land and they were starting the worship, obviously they all wasn't able to go home and read it. Probably a lot of them could not even read to begin with. And they would not have had a copy. So the king and the priest would have copies of this and they would read. And so here we have this setting. They're trying to get things figured out. In verse 1, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And then there was others that were standing by him." And so what I want us to note here is that the reading of the book of God is a very important thing. If you don't go to grade school, can you go to high school? It's not going to work. I can't, and quite frankly, I think all of us should stay on that grade school level for all of our life because we got to keep reading it. Trying to understand, trying to put it together, because the more we do that, the better of understanding that we'll have, and the more we will grow, and the more spiritually we can grow. Because we need God's Word in us on a regular basis and continuing if we are to go and be pleasing to the Lord. And so reading, keep doing it, guys. I was at Newton, the other Newton. And I asked for a show of hands of everybody that was a daily Bible reader. And you know what? Now there's a whole family that is reading their Bible every day. And maybe others. Because it wasn't very good. It was a low, very slim percentage. And so, but one of the reasons that I keep asking the question, how many daily Bible readers? Because you're human just like me. And I think you need help to remember to keep doing it. Okay? And that's the reason I carried that to Newton, Kansas, and encouraged them there. It's kind of neat. We went over, I think, Sunday evening to eat dinner with a family. And, of course, the boys had three young boys, and they were handfuls, just like little Vincent. And the middle one, we were talking about daily Bible reading, and so then he came back on, I think, Tuesday night, and he said, that young boy comes home from school every day and says, let's read the Bible together. So the whole family gets together, and they read the Bible together. And, of course, do you see how much influence you and you can have? Yeah. Because sometimes, you know what me and mom and daddy need once in a while? I needed some excellent children to help me remember, because we get so busy and we go to struggling with things. And your mom and dad are struggling. And so be a good example to them, okay? I look up to my children, and I'm very thankful for the example that I can see in them. But that is where the reading of the Bible is very important. And so let's keep it up. And so the next thing that I want to recognize is that in addition to our reading, we've got to add some study to that. Now, I mentioned a while ago that if you don't go to grade school, you're not going to be able to handle high school. And so the study of the Word, I put on the realm of high school. Is that correct? It's my own opinion, okay? So don't get me on that one. But it seemed like a good plan. But I want to look at some of the things about studying. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Can I take another side trip? There's a lot of young children in Newton, Kansas. And one of their jobs on Sunday morning is to draw a picture and take notes on what the sermon was. And so after Sunday morning sermon, they gave all of those pictures to me. And it's amazing what those kids pulled out of it. So keep taking notes, Vincent. Okay? Thank you. Okay, so 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So basically, as we read the word of God and we put information in, do you get a lot of questions from your reading? Does it bring a lot of things to mind? You say, "I wonder about this." Well, and see, that's where the study comes in. We really get in and we start putting things together to try to figure out what it is that how does that fit into this, and how does that fit into this passage, and what do the words mean within that text? And then, you know, we've got to recognize and understand what God says. Because, guys, I'm going to tell you something. God said there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so there's only one, and God gives us there's one faith. And so in order for us to know what that faith is and be obedient to that faith, we're going to have to study the Word to see if we actually understand it properly. There's 1,000 different ways out there, and they're all different. And I might read and get an idea, maybe based on where I used to be, maybe based on what I like and what I feel. Maybe I look at that passage and, have you ever understood misunderstood a passage? I have, you know. I read it, I think it was in today's reading, in our chronological. Jesus said to the man that he healed, "Go your way, your sins are forgiven you." Well, the scribes and the Pharisees, they got all mad. They said, "What do you mean?" And Jesus made a statement that took me a long time to figure out. He says something to the effect, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins." He says, "Which is easier to say?" And that's what always confused me. Which is easier to say, "Arise and or be healed, or your sins are forgiven"? And I would look at that and look at that and look at that, and I'm trying to figure out which one's easier, you know? And I thought about going to the Greek and say, "Okay, which one's easier?" But it's because I didn't read the verse after it. And so I misunderstood that passage for a long time. That's why you got to study. And study is more on a high school level. Because we can get off on a wrong tangent. And we can get our head into the, set our teeth into the sails and keep going the way we want to go and be dead wrong. And that's why we've got to study the Bible. We've got to do it so that we'll show ourselves approved to God. Because if we don't rightly divide the Word of God, we will not be approved. And I want to know now, if I'm wrong, to wake up on the judgment day and find out you made a mistake, not a good plan. And so we don't want to do that. Now, I want to flip back to Ezra now, in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. And this is really, to me, it's a pretty neat passage. And so Ezra is the priest that came back to get the worship going. And in Jerusalem. And they got the temple going and the temple worship going. And it was Nehemiah that brought the wall. And so in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." He set his heart to seek the Lord and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He really made a determination that he was going to know and do and follow what was right. And you're not going to do that without getting into the Word to find out what it says. And so he was this priest that was working on and dealing with that. And the thing is, he set his heart to it. I really think that we kind of need to daily take stock of ourselves, and we need to ask ourselves if our heart's set to the task. We're human beings. Man, we're just weak creatures. It's easy for some struggle in life to come, some challenge that upsets the apple cart, and we want to put our teeth into the bit and do it our way. But Ezra had set his heart to the task of knowing and understanding God's law. Let me encourage all of us here today. You encourage me, and I'll encourage you. Let's set our heart to the task. The high school level. The next one is found in Psalm 119 in verse 11. And of course, I alluded to this morning in what I was saying about the when I'd heard that Psalm 1 was memorized by Marvin Harrington. And so Psalm 119 in verse 11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And so I'm taking it to another level. And this is the memorization level. And I've heard it over the years. I can't memorize. But I'll tell you what. Years ago, when they came out with that song on the commercial, that was back when I watched TV. "To all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun." And it wasn't long after that they came out with another commercial. You remember that one? Bun, seed, sesame, ale, and onion, pickles, cheese, sesame. Sauceless patties, default to. Can't say it anymore. I memorized it, and I memorized it because I heard it over and over. I want us to memorize some passages. Hide it in your heart. You notice that when Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus didn't have to say, "Let me look that up." He already had it here. He memorized those scriptures and he knew what they said. And so we need to hide the scriptures in our heart. I know we're, most of us here, we're in the old category. Becky says, "You're not talking to me." How's school going, Becky? You got a lot of stuff to memorize? Is it fun? Are you getting it done?
Yes. Set you up, Beck.
I relate. Okay. Let's try to really put God's word in our heart. Okay? And you may or may not want to memorize, but you know, once in a while, pick out a verse that really means something to you. You know, one of the things that I like doing with this Pew Packers class, I grew up, and that was for the whole congregation, because everybody sat in the chairs, or back then it was old hard benches. We didn't have cushions. We had them wood things. They were terrible. But at any rate, everybody sat there and listened and paid attention to what was being taught to the young people. And I think that would be a great thing. I think that we sometimes don't fathom the need that we have to know those details. And a lot of times we didn't grow up with those. You know, I grew up, I still remember drawing the picture of Solomon telling the person to cut the baby in half to give each woman a half. I wasn't very old when I drew that picture. It was in my workbook, and we were to draw that, and I've never forgotten that. Now, that may be a gruesome thing to think about. But it was a lesson that God put in the Bible for us. I believe that all of these things that I teach them are things that all of us should know. And I think that we should have a desire to know those details. And so I work at helping the children to memorize. But I think it's just as important for us as adults, because when we lay it up in our heart, everything else is going to make more sense. When we read the Bible and we know some of these details, then we start connecting the dots. And it makes a lot more sense, and it helps us. And that's the college level. So we're going to go next to the postgraduate level, or I guess, is that the master degree? I don't really understand college, so you people with college degrees, you'll have to fill me in, but don't bother now. I don't really care. But this is the postgraduate degree. And the meditation. And the meditation is to take the things that we've read, that we've studied, and we've memorized, and we really give it a lot of thought to understand the meaning and the depth of that. I think it's a pretty neat deal, because a lot of times, you know, when you're driving down the road or you're doing a job that you don't need to think a lot about, you can think about that or singing that song, and you can just meditate on really what it's all about. You know, what do those passages mean, and how do they apply to my life, and how do I work at putting them things as a regular part of me? And so I've kind of related that as the postgraduate course, and I believe it's pretty important. In Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 20, it says, "My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart and tie them about your neck. When you go, it shall lead thee. When you sleep, it shall keep thee. When you're awake, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of the life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman." And of course, it continues on with the things that the law, meditating on that law, is going to do for your life. You know, as we go through life, there's temptations every little bit. There's struggles and there's problems and there's challenges. And sometimes we want to pull our hair out. Sometimes we want to go off in the wrong direction and do and say things that we shouldn't do. But the thing is, we've got to be meditating on God's Word. And this is why, you know, this thing of pray without ceasing, I think that has a whole lot to do with a connection that we have in our mind as we go about our daily life with God. You know, raising my children, you know, it doesn't matter if we were cleaning the barnyard out. We were talking often about what would God have us to do in a given situation. God was always a part of the conversation, and His will and His desire and His blessings and all that He does, and we talked about God a lot. We need to keep those things ever before us. And guys, it'll protect us. And I don't know about you, but I want to be protected. Go back to verse 24. Notice how dwelling and meditating on these things, it says, "To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither take her with thee, let her take you with your eyelids." You know, there's a lot of temptation out there. Now, the context is using the wiles of a worldly woman to entice you to do some things that you shouldn't do. And you know what? That rings true with people. We understand that. We relate with that. You know, I think whether we're man or woman, we see those things, right? But I think it works with everything, every aspect of life. There's a lot of temptations out there. And if we will keep God's Word in our heart and on our mind, meditating on those things, it's going to bring us a whole lot of benefit. And it'll stop us dead in our tracks sometimes when we want to go in a wrong direction. Guys, meditate on God's Word. Think about it often. Dwell on it and put it in your hearts. We need to understand what it helps us to do. And I want to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to notice some things there that Paul is reminding Timothy of. And, young men need to keep it to heart. This is pretty important because Timothy was a young man with a great task of preaching the gospel. All of us need to keep it in heart because it's written to all of us. But it begins in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. He says, "Let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in manner of life, in your charity, in your spirit, in faith, and in purity." You know, young people, how you keep somebody from despising your youth? Make sure your example is good. You know, older people, how we keep people from despising us? We make sure that our deeds look like Jesus. The same as the young people. He continues on and he says to Timothy, he says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine or teaching." He says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all." Meditate on these things. The readings of God's word. Meditate on them. Think on them. And make it a part of your life. You gotta chew on them. You gotta ponder them. You gotta reflect on God's word. And we need to remember that the primary reason is, number one, we turn it as a mirror and look at ourselves. Now it's easy to try to say, "Well, I wish brother so and so were here. They needed to hear that lesson." And we heard that a lot over the years. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I think that. But, you know, I taught some pretty challenging lessons in Newton, Kansas. And we talked about those subjects different times throughout the week. And I reminded them that I've got to preach it to me first. And I've got to remember that when I'm giving these scriptures and the reading of these things, that I have to look at me. And not use it as a thumping instrument for somebody else that you think needs to hear that. And so, Paul was telling Timothy, he says, take it in, reflect it, ponder it, and make sure your life shows what you're saying. That's the meditation and how important that it is. And then he says in verse 16, he said, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee." Think about that passage. He's just simply saying, you meditate on it and you act on it. You live it, okay? You give it all you got. You know, you need to give attention to yourself. Make sure you are doing what you're supposed to do, and you got to make sure you give attention to the teaching. The things that you teach must be agreeable with what the Bible says. And that is a challenge. You know, we've got to put everything that we believe to the test of the Scriptures. And if you can't find Scriptures to back up what you believe, go back to the drawing board. I'll tell you what, there's been numerous times that I sit down to write a lesson, and by the time I'd gather Scriptures together, I realized I needed to be teaching something else because I was going in the wrong direction. So I had to regroup. I had to teach something different from what I thought that I was going to prepare a lesson on when I found out that the Bible didn't agree with what I was trying to prepare. And we need to do that every day. Act on what it says within your daily life. You need to do it day and night. Day and night. Take it to bed with you at night. That doesn't mean you need to read in bed. I don't know if that would work. I never could hold my arms outside of the cover, summer or winter. There's something about that that just doesn't work for me. So reading in bed's never been something for me. You might like to, and that's fine. But you need to meditate on it. You need to put it into your subconscious. It needs to be a priority in your life where you're thinking about God's Word. So we go back to Psalm chapter 1. I want to talk for a couple of minutes about those who linger at sin. Notice it says in verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Notice here, the scenario is this is the individual that's walking back and forth in front of sin. You know, and if we stick close enough to it and we wander around it and watch it and keep a close eye on it, before long we have a tendency to be a part of it, don't we? And this is one of the reasons that over the years we've stressed evil companions corrupt good morals. And we've gotten to the point where we don't associate with ungodly people. But I'm going to tell you something. You do need to keep in mind that ungodly people will destroy you. Okay? If they have influence on you to bring you down, then you need more influence with godly people that will bring you up and kind of recover a little bit. We've got to watch that because your soul will be destroyed. But we've got to be careful to grow so that we can influence and help other people go to heaven. So we need to keep that in mind. And so, but the thing is, we don't want to walk back and forth in front of. We don't want to stay there. We don't want to be in the way. Notice it says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Doing the things that people would have you to do that are not right. Don't stand in the way of sinners. And don't sit in the seat of the scornful. See, the standing and the watching, to being involved, to closely in, to go in and to sit down and to recognize and to take part in. And that's what it's trying to get us to see. And there's where we need to find the balance of our association with the world and the involvement in the world. And that can be a challenge sometimes to understand that. But guys, you got to keep in mind that there's a lot of things that can tempt us to get involved. I can't tell you the struggles within your mind that you are dealing with. I know mine. And I try to deal with them properly so that I don't have worldliness getting me down and dragging me in. Because once you get sucked into a whirlwind, it's kind of hard to get out. And I've known too many people get sucked into the whirlwind. And they follow it. And they don't have the guts to say, I'm going to change. Repentance is a hard thing, guys. That's one reason you don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Because then when you're reprimanded for it, the old headstrong, haughty attitude comes in and you're not about to admit that you were wrong. It's a whirlwind. Kind of circles. It's tighter and faster until down the drain. Don't let it happen to you. I've listed a couple things here. What's your problem? Was it alcohol in Proverbs 23? You know, God's so clear. You know, the wise man's not going to touch the stuff. Stay away from it. And there's a lot of people in this world. I talk with so many people. You know, it's kind of amazing. We went to the drug deal at the school on Thursday night. And they had policemen there, and they were narcotics officers that were dealing with the drug traffic. And we were going through a trailer that showed how kids hide alcohol, or drugs, rather. And it's amazing some of the hidey holes that they have to do that. I wish all of you could have seen it. I mean, they take Pringles cans, they take water bottles, and they make super hiding tools for drugs. Okay? So I made the comment to this one drug officer, I said, you know, the problem is we support alcohol and all it does is help us to graduate to drugs. And he said, that's right. I couldn't believe a police officer said that. But I was proud of it. Proverbs chapter 23 and verses 29 through 35 is woe. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has babbling? Who hath wounds? Who hath without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Those that tarry long at the wine. Those that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou on the wine when it's red, when it gives its color in the cup, when it moves itself aright. At last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lies down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lies upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I wake? I'll seek it yet again. Didn't we see that the other day?
Yeah.
And she's
back in jail.
Yeah. And yep. Is that a surprise to anybody?
Seven.
No.
Hopefully seven signs are here.
It's such a typical thing. I see it over and over and over again. Well, but then we can get to some things that all of us worry about. You follow in the outline, you know what's next. Worry. Worry. Does anybody here worry?
Yeah.
I have a problem with it. Things, I get to thinking about them, and I have to remind myself, has God always taken care of you? And self says, yes, God's always taking care of me. So why am I worried? Yeah, I'll stop. I'll try. and then I smile, make myself smile, and then I keep going. But then it comes back. Okay, do you ever have that problem? Okay, is it a challenge? Everybody's got different struggles, okay? Worry is a challenge. And it says in Philippians 4:6, be careful or worried for the big things. Not what it says? No, it's not, is it? Whoa, there is it. That doesn't say the big thing. It says, be worried about nothing. And Tim said, he didn't talk about surgery on your hands, right? It's not a laughing matter. But, okay, it's something that's really going on in life, right, Tim?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And we wonder how it's going to work. Now, what's in your life? Okay, because every one of us here, including me, we've got some kind of a challenge. Be worried about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And thereby, verse 7, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want it. And then in verse 8, for whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And so I try to bring my mind and say, stop it. Let's think about something else. Something good. Worry. What's your problem? Selfishness. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is one of those amazing passages that gets in all of our faces. And chapter 1, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Do we stop and think about that? Is your body a living sacrifice? Is your life what it ought to be? Are you conformed to what everybody wants or what everybody thinks, or are you doing it God's way? We look at 10 through 17 and look at this. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. That means going before and showing the way. Thank you for showing us the way and reading the Bible, Vincent. I appreciate that. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things in the honest in the sight of all men. Wow, what a passage. Is it easy to be selfish? It's all about me a lot of times, And I think we all need to be pampered, but we all need to recognize that we are the ones that do the pampering of one another. Then there's that list in Galatians 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, and revelings, and such like. But they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. As I said before, so say I now again. We've got to remember the list of sins. Guys, I don't know what your problem is. You do. I know mine. Let's not cozy up and cause ourselves to be weak. Let's stay away. We need to find the scriptures. We need to read them, study them, memorize them, and meditate on them. We need to obey what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, in John 14:15. We need to be humble before God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble just means obedient. We need to keep and maintain a positive spiritual attitude, recognizing, guys, that all of us here have our own weaknesses, and we all have our own strengths. Let's capitalize on our strengths and help each other in our weaknesses. And let's make sure that we are humble before God and we give everything that we can for the Lord to go forward and to do what is right. As we read a few minutes ago in Philippians 4:8, we need to think on the good things. How often do we get thinking about the negative stuff? You know, I mean, isn't that kind of normal? You know, something goes wrong and then all of a sudden that consumes us and that's all we can think about. Join the crowd. Okay, I have that problem. I'm challenged with it. But then I've got God saying, stop it. Stop that. Because when I dwell on the bad things and the problems that I can't change, it becomes a major weight in the rest of my life. And it drains me of all joy. I really think that God gives us things that we can't change so that we'll grow and that we'll trust in Him. Keep a positive spiritual attitude. I had a little point here in the bottom and I debated on adding it, debated on taking it out. But I want to look at it for just a minute. Can you imagine what would happen if a congregation meditated on the Great Commission? Matthew 28:18-20, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Actually, I think we do meditate on that a lot. And I think we need to meditate on more. Because within that passage, it encourages us to submit to Jesus, to go out and teach, to baptize, adding Christians, and to continue to teach. Meditate. Give it all you got. If there's anybody that needs to respond to the invitation, guys, do it now while we stand and sing.